going to talk a little bit at first, and then we'll open it up for questions. And some people sent some questions beforehand that I passed along to them, so I'm hoping they can just have those in mind when they're talking. But I thought I'd first ask Jim just to start by saying a little bit about what a Wisdom Council is, what a Creative Insight Council is, how they, what are the differences, just in brief. So Jim, maybe you could start with that.
Well, this will be very brief. I just got back from Austria, Bregenz, and I got a chance to see sit in on a Wisdom Council process, and then a couple of days later, a Creative Insight Council process. And the basic difference is that the Wisdom Council process, the Wisdom Council is randomly selected, and they choose the topic. Now, what happened, of course, is that many people want to choose the topic and gather a random select of people and have it be dynamically facilitated, and so we've just given that a different name, and we call it a Creative Insight Council, and the intent was to keep the purity of the Wisdom Council alive and the system transformation potential alive. But the Creative Insight Council, if you change that one variable, if you choose the topic, now all of a sudden a lot of things change. Now, for instance, it's not an ongoing thing, but it's a short-term thing. And now you want to have experts come and inform people, so now you have involved more people. And now usually you might want to have pay these experts, and it might take longer, so you might have to pay the people that show up. And there's a more of a concern, you know, the value of it is that the government can do it. Government sponsors a Creative Insight Council, and the Wisdom Council maybe doesn't need to be sponsored by government, or could be, either way. So those are some of the basic differences, and one of the exciting learnings from watching what Manfred did in Bregenz, and how he had engineered that process to happen in the city of Bregenz, it was very exciting to realize that the Creative Insight Council is a fantastic tool that government can use to relieve the stresses of the partisanship. For instance, Barack Obama today wants bipartisanship, and he's being blocked by the system. And if he convened a Creative Insight Council, I believe he could end run that whole problem, and there wouldn't be any ability for people to resist being would have to come together, because we'd have a voice of the citizens involved. So with that, I'll turn it over to Manfred, and maybe you could describe your experience of what you've been doing in especially the last example.
Yeah, we started some years ago in 2006 with our first Wisdom Council in Wolfurt, also in our area. And from the very beginning, there was some interest to do something with a topic chosen by the mayor or by the government. Do you understand me?
Yeah. Yes,
could you maybe people push the six and star to mute some of the background noise?
Maybe it's interesting for you to hear first something about my background. I'm working for a state government agency. It's called Office for Future Related Issues. And we are directly reporting to the governor. But anyway, we see ourselves somewhere in between the government and public citizens. And what we could see or learn during the last years of our work, that governments have more and more difficulties to find working solutions for many current problems. And the reason for this growing difficulties is because the diversity in society is increasing rapidly, and this makes it very difficult for the politicians to estimate what people think and need and want. And another problem is the huge influence of stakeholders, especially from the economic sector. So, and on the other hand, we have an exclusion of citizens, and this makes it very difficult to find appropriate answers for the current challenges. So we were trying to check out new approaches, new ideas, and I'm very grateful that we came across the work of Jim Ruff. And from the very beginning, I thought that the Wisdom Council have a huge potential, and it took us 2 years to find a municipality who was willing to give it a try. And meanwhile, we did 5 Wisdom Councils and 2 CICs. And maybe I can tell you something about the most recent CIC we did in Bregenz. Bregenz is a small city of 40,000 inhabitants, and it's in the western part of Austria, situated directly at the Lake of Constance. And Bregenz did a development project. They planned a new harbor, and this project was a complete disaster because the project there are two major political parties, and they both were sure they represent the public opinion, but they have diverse approaches to how to develop this harbor area. And they also tried out political public participation approaches, but in a very dilettante way, and the result was a waste of money, a waste of time, and they couldn't figure out the solution. And that was the point where we stepped in, and we suggested to the mayor to try out a CIC to find a solution, but not for this harbor project. This was already stuck. But we told the mayor if he has another development project, he could start it with a CIC. And he, from the beginning, he was very interested, and he gave us the opportunity. There was a second huge development project. It's called the Lake Area Development Project. It's worth around $85 million US dollars. And you can imagine that it's a very crucial and important project for the city. And the investors also agreed to try out a CIC. So we invited 100 people who were randomly selected. We got almost 20 people who registered to participate, and actually 12 people attended the CIC. And the interesting thing is that within a very short period of time, the people developed a very interesting statement. They said the greatest attraction for Bregenz is its situation at the Lake of Constance, but the lake and the town are divided by train and highway, and they said that it's a chance of the century for the city to improve these connections, this connection between the city and the lake, to bring them closer together. And the funny thing is that the planners who already worked for 2 years on this project, they were dealing with issues of the density of the buildings and how many floors and the architecture, but they didn't think of this point. And afterwards, everybody said it's obvious, but nobody took this into account. And so when we had the presentation of the statement, it was a big breakthrough, both for the development project, but also the public recognition of Wisdom Councils and CICs. And today we have I see a very bright future for further Wisdom Councils and CICs in our area.
Fabulous. Great, Manfred. Thank you for giving us some of the background. It's exciting to hear about. I guess I'd just like to open it up to anyone who has questions or comments.
I have a question. It might be early. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. How did the rest of the country find out about the Wisdom Council or the CIC? I mean, did you describe the process to them? Or you said it was a breakthrough in the awareness of CICs. How did that happen? How did that information spread? Was it through your office? Or?
Yeah, because this development project is of huge public interest, we had a great media coverage. We were in regional television, we were in radio and in the newspapers. So there was a broad recognition of the process and the outcome.
Uh-huh. So there were very clear descriptions of how the process worked, stuff like that. I'm just thinking about what kind of promotional material is useful, how to write about it so people get it.
Yeah, you have to take into account that we are working on this issue of Wisdom Council since several years. And we try to inform especially the interested public and the mayors and the regional government about what we are doing. We have newsletters, we have publications, and so more and more people learn about the Wisdom Councils and the CICs. But it's exactly right. It's a lot of information work necessary because usually people have no idea about what a Wisdom Council is, and many people don't have an idea what is meant with public participation.
Right.
So they think it may be an event where people come together and discuss something or... from the political point of view, if you do a survey to find out what people think, this may be some sort of public participation. But Wisdom Council and CICs are still not well enough known, so there's information work necessary.
Mm-hmm. What was the structure between the government and the citizens on the council? Did the government participate directly in the council? Was there one council, or did they break up into subcommittees?
Usually we invite the mayor to open the Wisdom Council. He just makes a short introduction. He welcomes the participants, says thank you to them, and after that he leaves. So he just attends for 10 minutes or so. And then the rest of the Wisdom Council is just with the facilitators and the participants. And the public and the mayor comes in again when the public statement is given.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. One of the learnings that we've had here in the United States is that sometimes when we use dynamic facilitation in a Wisdom Council or in a CIC or even just a meeting, people can be really amazed and surprised and very happy with the results of the meeting, but sometimes they don't realize maybe why the results were so good. And so, for instance, we've had people who have one of the first Wisdom Councils we had here in the Rogue Valley in Oregon, we've had people who were very pleased with the outcome and yet who left not really having any understanding that the facilitation process that we use is a very crucial ingredient to making this a successful outcome. So I was just wondering if you might comment on how that has been for you and to what extent you guys have promoted the dynamic facilitation as an essential component of the Wisdom Council process.
Usually we have a short introduction into the method of dynamic facilitation at the beginning of a Wisdom Council. So for us it's very important to say to the people, this is an easy method that you also can use for your problems and finding solutions or to create trust creating. But on the other hand, maybe it's a little bit too high expectation to think that people are really interested in the method itself. Actually, I think it even doesn't matter if people don't know what method you use. But on the other hand, for us, it would be very great if the DF method itself would spread more and more.
Okay, thank you.
Manfred, I have a question. This is Nadine.
Yeah?
Can you say more about how you were able to get the mayor or anyone else in the local government to accept or be willing to try the CIC? What did that take? Was there personal contact? Were there connections in advance, et cetera? How did you get that support?
From our institution, we have 96 different municipalities in our region, and we have pretty close connections to the most of them since many years. And it's, for me, it's very much a question of trust, to build trust between both sides. Actually, the participants distrust the government, and the government distrusts the citizens. And we see our role in bringing them together and building the trust between them. And for me, it's very obvious if you did a wisdom council, we do an evaluation of every wisdom council, and I would say 99.9% of the participants are very skeptical in the beginning, and they are excited after the Wisdom Council. They always say that they are not interested in parties, political parties, but they are very interested in becoming a part of shaping their area where they are living in. And for the politicians, it's just a question of the outcome of a Wisdom Council, and it proves to be so beneficial. It saves money, it saves time, you get more identification and public acceptance. And for me, the most compelling thing is that you do some sort of political education, empowerment, even though you don't even talk about that. So it's just a great experience for anybody. But in the beginning, everybody distrusts each other, and that's the main obstacle to overcome.
I have another question. One of our struggles here in the United States is that public participation has come to mean almost like the more numbers of people you can include, the better, and the more high technology you can use, the better. So, for instance, an organization called America Speaks that hosts meetings where they have thousands of people all in small tables and a lot of computers to get their input, but it's very much based on voting and majority, minority, and like that, although they do have some amount of discussion, dialogue, like that. So a lot of times when we try and describe the Wisdom Council to people, one of the biggest obstacles we find is that people have a hard time understanding how a small group of people, even though they're a microcosm, can, you know, it's like their mind is just thinking, in order to be legitimate, you need to include more and more and more people. And so when we say, you know, we have a Wisdom Council with 12 people, it can be really hard for people to wrap their brains around how that can be reflective of the larger whole.
Mm.
Could you comment on that, maybe?
A few years ago, there was published a book with the name The Wisdom of the Many. And for me, this is an interesting explanation how ordinary people and just a random selection of ordinary people can find out qualified results that are comparable with expert level. And for me, the most convincing argument as regards politicians is that usually if you have, for example, 200 people in a room, those who express themselves are not representative. They are usually stakeholders. This is a special type of people who has the courage to talk in front of a big audience. And for me, it's almost like a miracle that it's possible that you randomly select people, just 12 to 16 people, and you have to experience what's happening there. A few years ago, we did a similar thing when we had several different participation methods we did in parallel. We had a random selection of young people, a random selection of adult people, and we had an expert group, 50 experts. And we compared the results of these three groups, and the almost unbelievable thing for us was that the quality of results of the citizens was at least at the same level as of experts.
Did you write anything about that? Is it possible to get a copy of that and translate it into English so we can make it better known in this country?
We published a book about this experience. I'm glad to send it to you.
Oh, wonderful.
But unfortunately, all is in German. Most of our stuff is in German.
Well, one of the things that we need to do is we need to start translating some of the things that are written in German into English. I just want to say that, you know, this isn't the first time that there's been something very interesting discovered in this part of the world, but that does not become popular here first, becomes popular somewhere else first. You know, the whole thing with quality improvement was originally created by a person who was from here, but it wasn't until the Japanese people started to pick up on it that we started to hear about it over here. And I think, unfortunately, we're in a very much the same kind of a position with regards to dynamic facilitation and the Wisdom Council and all of those things. They're much more popular in German than in English, so we need to start translating all of your materials.
Yeah, I agree completely with you. For me, the work of Jim is absolutely incredible. And for me, the Wisdom Council is a key to find better solutions to the current challenges of our society. It sounds a little bit pathetic, but to unlock democracy. And for me, it's almost unbelievable that this method was invented in your country, and